paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone and welcome to the first dark minisode of season 25. Now, before we start the episode, I do need to address the fact this is on time. Go us. I joke, of course, but I do need to give a big thank you to our wonderful team. Every single member of our team, including myself, was affected in some way by the weekend we've just had. So although I appreciate from a listener perspective, it's terrible to receive a debut 2 days after it's expected or 3 days after it's expected. From our point of view, you did not want to be looking in on that, because that was what they call, I believe, a hot mess. But season 25 continues with this very minisode. And so, let's begin. This comes to us from Steve, and Steve lives in the northeast of England. And he writes, "Hi Kev, I did 45 years working on the trains. I started when I was 19 and I finished when I was 64. And in all of that time, I only ever told this to 3 people, 2 of whom are now dead. So I guess it's your turn." I joke. I'll say up front, I'm not one of those people who sees things. I've never had a reading done. I'm not into any of that really, although I do enjoy a good paranormal tale, hence me being a listener. But to be succinct, I was a train driver who enjoyed my job and I'd done the crossword on my break. That's about the size of me. But I know what happened one particular night, and I have never once been able to make it sit right in my head. Before I start, you have to understand something about this job, because if you don't, none of the rest will land. When you're training, before you even take a service out on your own, there's one thing that gets in your head. It's not the signals, not the routes, not the paperwork. It's the thought that one day somebody may step out in front of you. Every driver knows it, but nobody talks about it much. And when they do, it's classed as a joke, because that's how it gets handled. But that's how it needs to get handled, because it very well may be that. In the weeks before my first run, I would have dreams about it, 2 or 3 of them. I'm not going to describe them because I don't want to. They were very real, but they weren't real. They were just nerves finding somewhere to live. And I knew that even then, even at that young age. So I'd wake up, I'd have a cup of tea, and I'd go and do my shift. And I'd forget all about it. But you may want to remember that, though. Those dreams. Not because they came true, but because of what I thought when this happened. Now, the fleet. When I started, the stop we ran was what they'd have called new. It wasn't new to look at, but it was new to us. Easier. Less buttons, less hands. You still had to know what you were doing, but the machine did most of the thinking for you. Except for one route. There was one route that still had an old driver's cab on the front. Old even then. Overdue for the scrapyard, and everybody knew it. But for some reason, they refused to get rid of it or upgrade it. And that cab had a name. Betty. The first week I was in the shift room, one of the older lads leaned back in his chair and said, "Hey, have you not had a shift on Betty yet?" Every man in that room, without even looking up from their tea, all went, "Ooh," in unison. Like a class of kids when someone gets sent to the head. That was the routine, that was the joke. Every new lad got this. The story was that Betty had been a real woman, one of the first female drivers in our area, back around the end of the late 50s, early 60s. And the story was also, and I've never once heard anybody question how these two things sat together, she was the ghost that haunted the cab. So the cab got named after the ghost. Yes, that's the level of thinking we're dealing with here. And the tales. Oh, those tales. Fellas who'd walked out of their job after a shift on Betty. Fellas who'd seen her stood in the corner of the cab. Fellas who'd handed their notice in and never given a reason, and everyone knew the reason. Well, I never believed a word of it. But I was 19, and I didn't have the standing to say so. So I laughed along with it all and got the ooh, and I got on with it. Then, one evening, I came in, I checked the board, and there it was. Betty. My name next to it. It was early evening, so the room was more or less empty. Everyone else was out. So I'm sat there eventually on my own with a brew going cold, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't right. I knew it was daft. Knowing it's daft doesn't do you much good, though, when you're 19 and you're sat on your own. Then the door goes. This old fella comes in, one of the real veterans, weeks off retiring. He clocked my face straight away. What's up with you? It's my first shift on Betty, I said. And I did that laugh you do, the one that doesn't sound like a laugh. He filled the kettle and didn't turn round. I knew Betty, he said. The woman, I knew her well. I didn't say anything. So you listen to me, he turned around. Betty was a lovely woman, kind as anything. She wouldn't harm a fly. She wouldn't frighten a soul. And she certainly isn't going to spend her afterlife haunting a bloody cab. Do you hear me? Ignore them lot, they're bored. And honestly, that was what I needed to hear. I felt about a stone lighter. I even said thank you as I walked past and grabbed my bag. As I was halfway out the door, he said, "That said." I paused, but wish I didn't. Betty, the cab, I mean. Well, that's... He took a long pause, a proper long pause. Long enough that I turned around. He must have seen my face because he waved his hand and said, "Oh, it probably just feels that way because it's not as cushy as the new ones. You actually have to go to work on that thing, but it's not Betty the person, so ignore all them." And out I went. I tell you, I didn't know how to take what he said, but that would undersell it. If I was a train, I would have stopped it scared, relieved and confused in record time. Here's the funny thing, though. That shift started well. You see, my training was what they used to call 50-50. Half on the old stock, half on the new. It was a health and safety thing in case you ever ended up on one of those cabs. Some of the lads who'd been in a few years had never touched the old gear. But I had, and it was fresh with me. So when I got in that cab, everything was where my hands expected it to be. And I liked that. That's the bit nobody believes. I liked it. And you did have to work, like he said. But you also felt you had control. Now, she wasn't quick, and the stretches between stops were long. And I remember thinking, well, this isn't so bad, is it? And then we came to the Black Shoulder. That's what the drivers called it. A long, curved tunnel. Black because it used to be never lit, way back when, and the shoulder because of the bend. By my time, though, it was lit up like a supermarket, and I've been through it a dozen or more times on other stock and I've never given it a second thought. So we entered the Black Shoulder, and the lights in my cab went out. Not all at once, one by one, left to right in a curve. Like some god creature was passing a hand across them. I watched it happen, mouth open. But the train didn't lose power. That's the thing. Everything else was alive. If anything, she was picking up speed. And that's when it landed on me all at once. It shouldn't be. I was supposed to be bringing her down into the bend. That on the driver, that on me. And I couldn't see a thing. And then I heard it. The screech. Right-hand side, grating. They teach you that sound. They teach you that you should never, ever hear the sound in the shoulder. Because if you hear it, you're going too fast. There's not much you can do about the money you have now. But if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. And with the Acorns Potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you have is spare change. Because Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. And the Acorns Potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money can grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, every week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. I've had and used many financial applications, but the specific thing about the Acorns app I love is the potential screen. Of all the apps I've used, it gives me such a clear picture of the opportunities for my cash to grow. So sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. T2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. I knew exactly what to do. I just didn't know where the thing was. The screeching got to where I just couldn't stand it. And then the lights all came back on. Just like that. And I got her down, barely. And it more or less just about made it. We came out the other side and I sat there with my heart going through my ribs. By the next stop, I'd calmed myself down. Maybe it was an electrical fault. This cab is old. Of course there's a fault. Look at the kip of this. It was properly dark outside by then. Barely a soul getting on or off, and I'd settled down. I was thinking about the end of the route that was coming up, thinking about my brew, all nice and normal. Then as I relaxed and leaned back in the chair, I saw a woman stood at the edge of the track. She couldn't have been, there was fencing both sides, but there she was. I started to slow down, and I could do that on Betty. Because you can, that's kind of the point of how she's made. And about maybe 20 feet short of her, she stepped back into the hedge. Slow, like she was being taken. I didn't pick up speed again until I'd gone past where she'd been. I had a good long look at where she had been, nothing there. A lost dog, I told myself. Somebody after a lost dog. And I let it go. I actually, sincerely let it go. I got her back up to speed and I was fine. And that's when there wasn't time, there was no braking, nothing. Somebody went in front of my train. I knew it with everything in me. I heard the sound of someone bounce off the front of Betty. I dragged that train to a stop as soon as I could and I put my head in my hands and I was shaking. Now, I'm not a superstitious man, I've told you that. But those dreams came up out of me like something dragged, and I could not get them back down. You don't survive being hit by a train. 19 years old, and I already knew that. Which meant my job now wasn't to go and see if she was okay, it was to go and find out where her corpse was. I shakily grabbed the radio and I told them I needed the police. I'd had what we call a jumper. And a lass answered. She was brilliant, honest to God. She told me to breathe. I kept saying I didn't know if I could go and look. I couldn't do it. And she kept me on that radio and talked me through the whole ordeal, telling me it wasn't my fault. She told me she dealt with enough jumpers in her time to know there was not one thing I could have done. She told me I was okay. And then she got angry in the end. Got me to the point where I was thinking, who does that? Who does that to a stranger? Who ruins somebody else's life on their way out of their own? And angry, I got off that train. I checked the front, I checked underneath, I got my binoculars out and checked the back. Straight down the line as far as I could see. Nothing. Not a mark. Not a trace. So I got back on the radio. I said, I don't think we need the police after all. A man answered, asking me why I'd need the police. I said, ask the lass. She's just been on with me. She'll tell you the lot. He said, son, I'm the only person working. I got off that train again. I checked everything again. There was nothing. There'd never been anything. I drove Betty back with the widest eyes I've ever had. At the depot, I walked in, still shaking, white as a sheet. The first person I see was him, the old fella. He asked if I was all right, and I said no, and I broke down, 19 years old, crying in a depot. He sat me down, made me a cup of tea, and let me get it all out. The tunnel, the woman at the fence, the jumper, the radio. He shook his head at all the right times, and he was decent about it, not laughing once. And then, when I'd finished, he smiled. Out of interest, he said. The lass on the radio. Did she have a Scottish accent? She did. He raised his eyebrows, took a sip of his tea. You'll be all right, kiddo. He got up and went to the sink to rinse his mug. I stirred a hole through his back. He turned round and said, you know, Betty spent her last 5 years on the radio before she packed this in, and she was Scottish. He put the mug on the drainer like this was a completely normal conversation. And I know a few drivers who've had jumpers over the years, and it was Betty who talked every one of them down after. I couldn't get my words out. It sounds to me, he said, like you ran into the two Bettys tonight. The first one's that thing out there, whatever it is. And the second one's our Betty, the lovely woman. The one who sat with you through this whole horrible whatever. He picked up his coat, opened the door and said, sounds like she had your back. And he left. 45 years I did after that, and I never had another shift like it, and I never wanted to. I don't know what I met that night. I don't know if I met something rotten and then something kind. I've no idea. I don't know if it was some sort of one long hallucination from a lad who was too young and too frightened and had been having bad dreams. That's where I've been left. For the best part of half a century. But I'll tell you what I do know, and it's the part I can't put down. That old fella. He didn't wonder, he didn't guess, he wasn't working it out while he stood there. He knew exactly what had happened to me that night. And I'll be honest with you, Kev, I still don't. Best wishes, Steve. Well, Steve, thank you for, I think, one of the best minisodes we've had. I often talk, as you guys well know, about validators. Now, normally it's something within somebody's tale or experience that I think you just couldn't make that up. However, in this minisode, in and of itself, the entire piece together for me is a validator. Steve said first he wanted to be anonymous, and I said, of course, that's fine. And then he sent a quick email back saying, sod it, put my name on it, I don't work there anymore, and no one knows me, Steve. And it was that sort of directness from the first email and that second email that made me think, this is sincere. And it's with this amazing sincere minisode that we say goodbye. I can't wait to speak to you all again on Friday for episode 2 of season 25. And until then, stay safe and take care.